welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today. We're continuing on in a subject I've entitled Redeeming the Time. And we want to begin by looking at one of the scripture references that actually contain that phrase, redeeming the time. And that is found, the first one I'll share with you, in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 15 and 16. See then that ye walk circumspectly, Paul says. In other words, he's going to explain himself if you don't know the meaning of that word, that we should be aware of the times in which we're living, to be circumspect, to be careful of your actions, your thoughts, to be deliberate. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And how can we put what he's asking us to do, the Apostle Paul, in other language? We just need to be wise. We need to buy up opportunities. In other words, if we have to have the wisdom and the discernment to see something that is an opportunity, and then make the most of that, make the most of every opportunity, make the best use of your time, and despite all the very difficult days in which we are living. There's a lot of personal battles. You know, the enemy knows those who love the Lord, and some of the trials, the testings that you go through, that we all go through, beloved, they're not meant to break us or destroy us, but they are meant to teach us to trust the Lord, to wait on Him, because He will give victory. What does the scripture say? It says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but there's not a period there. Aren't you glad? I'm very glad. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And that's pretty comprehensive, all. Praise God. All right. It is God's will for us to understand and discern the times in which we are living. They are evil, and it seems like they're much more evil than at the time Paul wrote that. That could be a difference of opinion. There was great persecution going on or about to continue, and it did for several centuries until the 4th century when Constantine made Christianity the official religion of his empire, if you will. But we are to discern the times. You know, it talks about the sons of Issachar who discerned the times and knew what Israel ought to do. That's what our mandate is. And how can we do that? By asking the Lord. And let's go back to that scripture, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. He says, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And so the will of the Lord, there's His general will, which is encompassed in terms of the commands, the promises that are given to us in Scripture, the Word of God. And then there's God's will for specific situations as they arise in our lives that are not specifically, of course, covered by the Word. But once you learn the principles of God, then you will know, you will be guided by the Holy Spirit as to what is that right choice that you should make, what is the proper decision. And until you have that clarity, it is a good a good idea just to wait on the Lord. Don't do anything until you are certain this is what God would have, whatever God's will is. So, you know, I just want to take a moment. Sometimes at the end of the broadcast, we're kind of short on time. So I want to just pray right now. Father, we do desire to redeem the time. We desire to make use of every opportunity you give to us. And so, Lord, I pray that we all, those who are listening, and the body of Christ in general across the earth, Lord, would know your plans, your purposes. They would understand your priorities for their individual lives, the things they need to focus on. What they focused on 3 months ago may not be your focus for them right now. And so, Lord, we're asking for that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus, Lord, that we will be led and accomplish and put our energies and time and efforts only in those things that is the Father's will for us. Jesus said very clearly, I do nothing but what the Father reveals to me. He delighted to do God's will. His law was shut up in his heart, and that should be true for us. We should so love the Word, and that's my frequent prayer for all of us, that we would come to love the Word and understand the Word, and the Holy Spirit's able to do that. When I first got saved, there was, you know, yes, I read the Gospel of John, but there was a lot I didn't understand. And that came as I continued to walk with the Lord, pursued and sought knowledge, sought understanding. He's not trying to withhold anything from you, beloved. He's not trying to withhold his perfect plan for your life, his destiny, which may change in the seasons of your life. So you see, what does it amount to, beloved? Listen, we are in a constant state of not knowing what's going to happen. We don't know what the future holds. We may think we do. I mean, obviously we know what the future holds in terms of what Scripture has revealed in terms of the end times. But in terms of our personal lives, God has mercifully, I think, kept that from us. But He will give us knowledge and information on a need-to-know basis. Just you remember what He said? He sent His disciples in as He was preparing to celebrate that last Passover with them. And He says, you know, you'll go, you'll see a man carrying a water pot on his head. Follow him. And he will lead you to the place where we are going to have that Passover meal. And so God, you know, as much as we want to know everything in advance, that's just our nature. That's where faith comes in, and that's where trust comes in. And I know some of you are listening right now that have had some real problems with that. You've gotten impatient, and you've prayed, and it's like, how long? The time is passing, and it's, you know, I'm not getting any younger. And we all feel the urgency of time. But as we rest in the Lord and trust in Him, we can truly enter into that Sabbath rest where everything that He would have us accomplished will be just like Jesus. You know, He lived approximately 33 years. He could have been out ministering as a young man in his early 20s, but He didn't. Why? No, because it wasn't God's will. He responded when the Spirit of the Lord said, now it is time. And it was the last 3 years of his life, which in our thinking, well, you know, goodness, if it Jesus would have had, you know, 10 more years, wouldn't that have been great? Well, no, God knows exactly what he's doing. And he was very effective. Not only that, Jesus said, Paul said, I've finished my course. And Jesus said, I have, as he prayed in his great high priestly prayers recorded in John, I have fulfilled your will. He didn't want to drink that last bitter cup. That's what he wrestled with, God's will, in the Garden of Gethsemane. But he was willing to do it. Not my will, but thy will be done. We may find ourselves in situations where God's asking us to do something and we really don't want to do it. I know. How do I know? Because I have been there. However, fortunately, I would like to say in most cases, in spite of personal discomfort, that I was willing to say yes to God. That's the only way to go. Because if you refuse Him, then, you know, you'll keep going around the same mountain and you may miss out on some of the wonderful things He has. And so we need to know God's will for our specific situations. And when I shared the definition of redeem, that first definition is to buy back or repurchase. And let me share some passages in Isaiah Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 3. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, doesn't matter what your possessions are, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price, an open invitation, whatever you need, it's here, it's free, you don't have to have money to buy it. Verse 2, wherefore, this is a question the Lord's asking prophetically through Isaiah, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfieth not? Because we have a tendency to do that. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. If you eat that which is good, then your soul, not your body, your soul will prosper and be rich in terms of the things of the Lord. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. Don't you, or do you, how many like feeling half dead? You know, when you don't feel good, you feel that way. No, he wants us fully alive. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Beloved, there's an economy the world knows nothing about. Everything's topsy-turvy, it seems, to the unsaved in God's world. If you want to increase, well, you better decrease. If you want to have more in terms of finances, well, you have to give. Now, that doesn't make sense to the natural mind, but God delights in, you know, I'm convinced, you know, even in terms of being filled with the Spirit, the tongues, we are, Paul said, our understanding is unprofitable. God does it so the pride of man, the arrogance of man is brought down, and we're willing to humble ourselves and to be obedient to that command, to be filled with the Spirit with an evidence speaking, unless God gives the interpretation, where we don't have understanding. Our spirit, the Holy Spirit's praying in and through us. So, beloved, don't you love God's ways? He's very profound and complex, but he does make things simple for us. Just trust him and have faith in God. Praise the Lord. Well, I haven't gotten very far. There's yet more to share, so we'll continue on tomorrow. God has redeemed the time for us. He's bought back. He's repurchased it. Praise God. Until tomorrow, thank you for joining me. I love you and pray for you every day. And until then, as Sister Glass say, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,